Okay, so we have a few, two people are going to come and share a little bit. Number one, it's Ruben. He's a, where are you from, Ruben?
Colombia.
He's from Colombia. He moved here how many years ago? 13 years ago. And so, how long have you been married? So about 10 years ago, he came and he says, I really like this church. I would like to, could I get married in it? So he goes to a church in Palma, and 9 years ago, he did the wedding here. He got married. And since, he started a radio station here, a Christian radio station on the island. And I thought, it is a Spanish, but there is English programming. So I thought he could come and share a little bit with us. So Ruben, come on up. Oh.
Sin traducción, no me entenderéis.
Without translation, you won't understand me.
Bueno, como trabajamos en medios audiovisuales.
Okay, like since we work in audiovisual.
Quería traer una superproducción televisiva.
Televised production.
Para vuestro convencimiento.
To convince you.
Pero el Espíritu te guía.
But the Holy Spirit guides you.
Y me dice, cualquier cosa que hagas,
and he told me, whatever you do,
nada se compara a mi palabra. Nada se compara a mi palabra.
Nothing compares to my word.
Entonces simplemente os voy a compartir la visión de la radio y la televisión.
So what I'm simply going to do is share the vision of the radio and the TV.
Vida FM.
Vida FM.
Empezó hace 4 años.
Started 4 years ago.
El día 15 de agosto cumplimos 4 años.
August, we became 4 years old.
De nuestra primera emisión aquí en la isla.
And it was the first station on the island.
Cubrimos el 90% de la isla.
We cover about 90% of the island.
Transmitimos desde la Sierra de Alfabia.
We have it from Sierra de Fabia.
Sí, yeah, que es uno de los right puntos there. Estratégicos para transmitir televisión y radio.
There's strategic points to transmit radio and TV.
Pero lastimos,
but sadly,
no cubrimos Santa Ponsa.
We don't cover Santa Ponsa. Okay, that's enough. Welcome.
Estamos orando.
We're praying.
Para que el Señor nos provea un sitio.
For the Lord to provide a place.
Donde poner un repetidor en esta zona.
Where we could put an antenna in this area.
Y poder cubrir ya el 100% de la isla.
And be able to cover 100% of the island.
Os voy a leer un versículo de la Biblia.
I'm going to read a verse from the Bible.
Los que tengan Biblia, pueden abrir.
If you have a Bible, please open there.
En Mateo 28.
Matthew 28.
Versículo 18. No, versículo 19.
Verse 19.
Por tanto, id.
Te espero, ¿no?
Vale. Por tanto, id y haced discípulos a todas las naciones, bautizándolos en el nombre del Padre y del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo, enseñándoles que guarden todas las cosas que os he mandado. Y aquí yo estoy con vosotros todos los días hasta el fin del mundo.
And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
Amen. Pues esta comisión,
this commission,
no se la dejó solamente al pastor,
he didn't leave it just to the pastor,
ni a los líderes,
to the leaders,
no lo dejó para todos.
He left it for all of us.
Para vosotros, para mí.
For you and for me.
Y hay gente como yo.
And there's people like me.
Que nos da mucha vergüenza tocar puertas.
That we're very shy or we get embarrassed at knocking at doors.
O hablar con la persona que está en la parada del autobús y decirle que Jesús lo ama.
Or people that are at the bus station to tell them that Jesus loves them.
Hay gente que lo hace con facilidad.
There's people that do it very easily.
Pero no todas las personas somos capaces de tocar puertas.
But not all of us are able to knock at doors.
Y llevar el evangelio puerta por puerta.
And take the gospel door to door.
La isla tiene un promedio de habitantes de 824,000 habitantes.
The island has about 824,000 habitantes. 824,000 our residents.
Ahora, si contamos la población que se aumenta en verano, ya.
If you count the people that are here in summer,
es impresionante. Cubrir el 90%.
To cover 90%.
A través de una emisora de radio.
Over the radio.
Significa que no tenemos que tocar paredes.
Means that we don't have.
Puertas, perdón.
We don't have to knock at doors.
Sino que la señal entra a vuestras, a sus casas.
But rather that the word goes into the
a sus
house.
Coches.
To their cars.
Entonces estamos llevando el evangelio de una forma masiva.
So we're taking the gospel in a massive way.
Y sin necesidad de estar tocando puertas.
Without necessity to knock at doors.
Y es un medio que el Señor nos ha dado para poder entrar a los hogares.
And it's a means that God has given us to be able to enter homes.
En estos 4 años os voy a contar rápidamente porque sé que el tiempo es corto.
In these 4 years, I'm going to tell you very quickly.
Hemos recibido muchas cartas de la cárcel.
We have received many letters from jail.
Grupos que se han formado de oración en la cárcel.
Prayer groups that have been formed in prison.
Que nos mandan cartas pidiéndonos material.
That ask us for material.
Nos piden cierta programación en ciertos horarios donde pueden escuchar la emisora
they
de radio.
They ask for times where they can listen to the radio.
Y no solamente es un grupo, es en diferentes módulos.
It's not just one group, it's in different areas of the prison.
Desde los módulos más peligrosos.
From the most dangerous.
Hasta los módulos que están en prisión condicional.
To the safer ones.
Hemos tenido también taxistas.
We've had taxi drivers.
Que no son cristianos.
That are not Christian.
Pero escuchan la emisora porque les da paz.
But they listen to the radio station because it gives them peace.
He conocido gente.
We've met people. I've met people.
Tampoco es cristiana.
That are not Christians.
Que ha tenido problemas y simplemente haciendo zapping.
And just simply turning through the radio.
Han encontrado la estación.
They found the station.
Y se han quedado ahí.
And they stayed there.
Entonces es una forma muy fácil de llevar el evangelio.
So it's a very easy way to share the gospel.
Ahora con las nuevas tecnologías.
Now with new technologies.
Con los radio streaming.
Radio streaming.
With radio streaming.
Streaming. Lo siento por mi inglés. Streaming. Hemos tenido comunicación desde Afganistán.
We've had communication from Afghanistan.
Gente que escuchaba la radio por internet en Afganistán.
People that listen to the radio on the internet.
Y ahora con las aplicaciones móviles, esta semana lanzamos las dos aplicaciones tanto para Android como para iPhone.
And this week we're launching Android and iPhone apps.
Entonces podemos llegar a mucha más gente.
So we can reach even more people.
Pero no lo podemos hacer solo.
Yeah, but we can't do it by ourselves.
Somos un cuerpo.
We're one body.
Y todas las partes del cuerpo.
And every part of the body
son necesarias para que el cuerpo funcione.
Are necessary for the body to function.
Hay muchas formas de participar en el cuerpo.
There's many ways to participate.
Y más en esta emisora de radio.
And more in this radio station.
Una de ellas es haciendo programación en inglés.
One of them is by doing programs in English.
Porque no tenemos nada en inglés.
And because we don't have anything in English.
Solo música.
Only music.
Y necesitamos hacer programación para
and
que la gente de habla inglesa pueda recibir el evangelio.
And we need to do radio programs so that the English people can hear the gospel.
Y la otra forma también es apoyándonos para cubrir los gastos de misión.
And the other way is to help financially in order to cover the expense.
Normalmente una estación de radio tiene muchos gastos.
Normally a radio station has many expenses.
En la península conozco estaciones de radio como Radio Televisión Vida de Murcia.
In the mainland Spain, Radio Televisión Vida.
De Murcia, ellos cada 3 meses gastan 40,000 euros.
Every 3 months they spend 40,000 euros.
Nosotros, gracias a Dios, tenemos los costos muy, muy minimizados.
We, thank God, have our expenses very low.
El Señor ha puesto gracia en muchas personas.
The Lord has put grace in a lot of people.
Entonces los gastos de misión realmente no nos llegan sino a 1,600 euros al mes.
And our expenses only reach 1,600 euros a month.
Y es muy económico para tener radio 24 horas
it's
todo
very
el año.
Economical to have radio 24 hours.
Pero como las cosas pasan, no tenemos apoyo económico de ninguna iglesia hasta el momento.
But because the way things happen, we just don't have any support from any other churches at the moment.
Por el momento, la gente que nos colabora es la gente que escucha la emisora de radio.
For now, the people that help are people that listen to the radio.
Pero para poder ampliarnos, mejorar, ir mucho más allá,
but in order to spread it and to let it grow,
necesitamos obreros.
We need people to work.
Para mejorar la programación.
To better the programs.
Y necesitamos apoyo económico para comprar más equipo, mejorar los equipos.
And we need financial help to be able to better the equipment.
Y ir ampliando el evangelio por toda la isla.
And to be able to spread the gospel throughout the island.
Y todas las Baleares.
And all the Balearic Islands.
Y televisión.
And TV.
Tenemos todo preparado para empezar a hacer televisión cristiana.
We have everything ready to start Christian TV.
Pero para eso también necesitamos mucha gente que quiera participar trabajando en ella.
We also need a lot of people that are able to participate.
Es muy fácil hacer televisión.
It's very simple to do TV.
Si eres guiado por el Espíritu Santo.
If it's guided by the Spirit.
Entonces necesitamos vuestra colaboración.
So we need your help.
De cualquiera de las formas que sea.
Whatever way it can be.
Os mandaré la próxima semana.
Next week I'll send
la información de la página web,
the information of the web page,
cómo descargar las aplicaciones del Apple Store,
how to download from Apple Store or Android.
Exactamente, y todo el proyecto en un folletito informativo en inglés. Intentaré hacerlo.
In a little pamphlet, we'll send one in English so you're able to read.
Os prometo que no utilizaré el Google Traductor.
I promise that I will not use Google Translate.
Pues eso es todo. Muchísimas gracias.
La Biblia. You know, with Christian radio, is one of those things that I in Christian TV, if it's done right, it's just at the beginning that it needs finances, really. Because then afterwards you're able, I mean, it depends, obviously, the philosophy of the radio station, but I know in Calvary Chapel radio over in the United States, initially it needed the investment, but eventually it became a huge, huge thing that finances itself in many ways, you know. So, and I think it's important that we as Christians have vision. We should be people that are looking to invest in the things of the kingdom of God. I'm shocked. The internet world is a world that sometimes surprises me. Some of the best employers are Google. You know, they have fitness, they take care of their people, they have children's programs for the kids so they can take their kids to work. And then if you have an idea, these people actually, they support ideas of people so that then later, if they make it big, they're able to invest in people. They're better tithers than the church. It's crazy. And I think out of all people, we should have the vision to invest. You don't have to invest in everything, but invest in the kingdom of God one way or another. Just pray about it and say, Lord, how can I invest in what you're doing upon the earth? Because at the end of the day, whenever we spend in the kingdom, you're sending it ahead. And God is debtor to no man. Just to tell you a little story of something that happened to me. It's a lesson that I learned early on. I became a Christian and I went to Bible school and I had $900 in my pocket. And there was a lady that was working as a missionary there at the Bible school, and she had a medical debt, I think, of $700, something like that. It was something crazy like that. My tuition was $1,800. So I had half of my tuition and I needed to get a job in order to pay for my full tuition. And I saw this lady in need, and I just kind of thought, man, it's not fair that this lady serving as a missionary and she's got a medical debt haunting her. I had 900, she needed 700. So I said to her, okay, here's 700 bucks. Just pay it back to me as you can. I lend it to her. I didn't really give it to her in my heart, but I never saw it. I never saw a dime of it. And I'm still upset about it, you know. I never saw a dime of it. But 2 days later, 2 days after I did that, The director of the school came up to me and said, "Raph, you know what? We've been praying about it, and we want to give you a scholarship." So, well, wait a minute. I just doubled my money. You know, and I didn't. We shouldn't do it in order to get more. We do it out of love for God and out of love for people. And it's amazing how whenever it's done that way, it's amazing how the Lord just takes care of us, you know. Hey, listen, I get afraid even today sometimes. It's like, well, what if this and what if that and what if it's the wrong thing? You know, because sometimes we're just afraid. But man, we just need to trust the Lord. You know, we need to trust the Lord with our giving. So anyway, the two teams, the German and Swiss, and which were one, and the English team have been out. The English one has been in Magaluf. You're English, right?
Yeah.
You're not British. I'll say British just to play it safe. And then they've been out and out and out, and they've been to Magaluf. And I'd like, just very briefly, Alex, if you just share the testimony of those two girls, or if any other one you...
Good morning, everybody. It's been a great week with the Germans and the British, of course. And it's been a really crazy week. Normally, we have after dinner time a time of worship and prayer before we go out, just to prepare our hearts of what's going to happen throughout the night. And I just want to explain what happened. Out of a lot of stories, there's a lot of things that happen, but out of a particular story. Two student girls. I forgot who was with me. Were you with me? Somebody was with me. I wasn't by myself. But what I tend to ask the people is, what do you think about the Bible and what do you think about God? Just to go ahead and break the ice. And especially the Germans, are very interested. They're all sitting on the beach drinking and whatnot, and they're wanting to make conversation. And there was these two certain girls. Well, no, there was actually four of them, but two of them were zoned out. They didn't want to hear it. But two certain girls were like, eyes plugged like this, you know, and they were telling me what they thought, and they were raised up in a school where it was Christian, but they weren't sure because they said they have to do this. If you didn't go to church, that's it. You're not a Christian. If you don't give money to the church, you're not a Christian. All these certain things that they were grown up with that left them kind of concerned. And you know, we simply just shared the gospel. And I think a lot of us, we live a life of where we tend to forget about the gospel, right? And the gospel is, man, Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, right? And then number two is, the other thing is that Christ loves you guys so much, no matter what you're going through. It can be any sin that's going on in your life, and he loves you no matter what. And the love is never going to change, whether if you give money or if you don't give money. He loves you no matter what. And I was saying to these things to the girls, and you can see they're getting emotional. And the one thing I asked them, what is holding you back? What is the thing that is holding you back in your life? And I feel like so many times we can hold things back in our lives, and we say no to Jesus, and we say, oh, we'll just live our lives. But I think the biggest thing that we could ever do is say yes to Jesus and give it all to him, you know? So I asked them, man, would you want to receive Jesus Christ into your heart? And it's not like, oh, after this, like, you have to do this and all these certain things. It's simply choosing Jesus Christ by faith, knowing that he died on the cross, knowing that he rose again on the third day, and that he's coming back, you know? And both of them said, yes, can we pray right now? And I was like, yeah, it's okay. And, you know, when we prayed, I prayed with my eyes open. I was like, Lord Jesus. And they said, Lord Jesus, you know? And I just want to encourage you guys as the church, if you guys are ever feel like you want to share the gospel to somebody in your lives, but something is holding you back, I just want to encourage you guys, don't let it hold you back, because that is the enemy. He does not want the word of God to go through, but Jesus Christ is living in your guys' hearts. And remember, it's not you who's speaking, but it's Christ speaking through you. So that's what I want to say.
That's great. Gerdna, thanks so much for coming, for bringing the teams here. Thanks to you guys for coming over to the island and thinking of what's going on and the people that are here. You know, it's easy. It's easy sometimes to make judgments on things and say, oh, those places. But it's kind of nice when you see people with a love and are able to see beyond the lifestyles and are able to say, well, that's how we were, you know. So it's just wonderful. Also, another thing I want to thank you. How many people stayed here in the building? No, you don't have to raise your hands. But how many? Just the number.
High season 25, non-season 18.
high season 25. So there was between 25, now there's 18. I must say that when Gernot first told me about it, I was a little bit, I mean, I was open, and we in fact did it, but I was a little bit like, oh, wow, what's going to happen, you know, with so many people here. And you guys have done excellent. You know, it's been really good. I was expecting today the toilets to smell. I mean, 25 people here, you know, just going through, or even the building with 25 people sleeping here. And I went to both bathrooms, not to test them, but I just went, you know. and it was wonderful. Everything was clean, you know. Obviously, there's things here and there, but it's not, I mean, 25 people. And you know what? Where there's no oxen working, the stable is clean, the Bible says. Where there's no oxen working, the stable is clean. If we wanted a perfect church, we could have a sanitized church without people. But I'm so glad that we can make a mess of this place and keep it clean because there is a work going on. I remember at one point we really needed the building, and I told somebody, look, we really need the building every day of the week. And he's like, but you only use it on Sundays. And I said, but we would like to use it more. And in back in those days, it was almost a dream that we would use it more. And now, man, it's almost used as every single day of the week, you know? And it's just a wonderful thing of what God is doing here. And thank you guys. You know, we love you guys so much, Gernot and family and friends. And you're welcome anytime. So let's open our Bibles. I think today we're going to finish the book of Acts. And maybe not. Chapter 28. We'll read the whole chapter, and then we'll just go through some thoughts on it, on the different sections. Now, when they had escaped the storm, they went. Here, let me put my. I'm getting old. I can't see a thing here. So, now when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live." But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In that region there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius laid with a sick fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. So when he was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came out and were healed. They also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. After 3 months, we sailed an Alexandrian ship, whose figurehead was the twin brothers, which had wintered at the island. And landing at Syracuse, we stayed 3 days. From there, we circled around and reached Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew. And the next day, we came to Puteoli, where we found brethren and were invited to stay with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and Three Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Now, when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. And it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. So when they had come together, he said to them, "Men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who when they had examined me wanted to let me go, because there was no cause for putting me to death. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had anything of which to accuse my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have called for you to see you and speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain." Then they said to him, "We neither receive letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reporting or spoken any evil of you. But we desire to hear from you what you think, for concerning this sect, we know that it is spoken against everywhere." So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning till evening. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said the word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, "Go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it." And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves. And then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word. And I just pray, Father, that you would just guide us as we consider some of the verses that are here. And I pray, Father, you would speak to our hearts. Lord, enlarge our hearts. Help us to see, Lord, who you are and who you've made us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, as we look at these verses, we see that Paul went over to Malta. The ship ended up in Malta. The shipwreck was there. And after they were saved, they were able to walk 10 miles into town, if it's according to the discovery that we had Robert Heckler share with us the other day about the anchors that were found in the reef on the beach. So about 10 miles, they walked into the town. And Paul was able to pray for this man, this governor, this authority, and pray for him to be healed. And it's amazing the reception that they had. But it's easy sometimes to read the Bible and just see the good things that happen and not see some of the bad things that happen. And what I'm amazed at here is that as Paul comes out, I mean, they've been for weeks out in the sea. No doubt these guys are cold. And they get welcomed. There's a fire being started. And the natives are being welcoming. But they're also a bit judgmental. They're kind of like, "Whoa, man, what's going on?" And all of a sudden, a snake bites Paul. And they said, "Man, this guy must really be a murderer. He must be a murderer. Because the sea didn't get him. And now justice is hunting him." The word justice could be capitalized, because it actually is referring to like a god. The God of justice has found vengeance on him. And I'm astonished at that, because one, I'm rebuked by it, and it's an exhortation, because, and we can see it both ways, people are so fickle. One moment people can love you to bits, and the next moment people can despise you tremendously. It's incredible how fickle people can be. And here Paul arrives, and they see that they've been saved. They grab the stakes. He's trying to serve the Lord, and next thing you know, he gets bitten, and they judge him, saying, "Man, he must have done such and such a thing." Listen, guys, just as an encouragement to all of us, is never judge a person by their life circumstances. Never judge a person by what has happened to them. You know, it's sometimes that we find people that are having financial difficulties. Sometimes it's because of a foolish reason, whatever it is. You know, but sometimes that people are going through life circumstances, and we tend to say, well, God must not be with them, or they must have done something. And other times we see people that have a lot, or their life is easy, never have trials. And we say, man, well, God must really be with them. They must have the favor of God upon their life. And that is not the case. In this case, Paul was the very prince of Jesus Christ, you could say. And they misjudged his circumstances. Man, I would hate to be guilty of, and I do it, don't get me wrong, I do it, of judging people's character or people's godliness by their life status or by their circumstances when trials come in. If someone is sick and keeps being sick, to say something like, well, there must be a sin in their life, or there must be a curse upon their life, I think that's one of the saddest things that can happen to somebody. And here this superstition is revealed among the Maltesian people. They were completely wrong about Paul. Sometimes we can judge people and say, think that God is with them because of the favor upon their life, and it's actually the life of the people that Psalm 73 was jealous about. He says, my feet had almost slid because I noticed the people, there's some people that everything's going well with them and they are ungodly. They couldn't care less about God, and everything seems to be going so well for them. And here I am trying to seek the Lord, and I'm trying to be godly, and I find myself in trials. And then he says, but then I went into the sanctuary of God. And there he got perspective. It's not by our circumstances that we should judge one another. As a matter of fact, if we were to judge by circumstances, Job was probably the most unfavored person on the earth. Where in reality, God said to Satan, I have nobody like him. I have nobody like him. I can trust him. He's a friend in season and out of season. And Job was actually the pearl of God, you could say, on the earth. And his friends were trying to say, well, maybe you did something wrong for things to be going so bad for you. And here we see that they actually had judged him on his circumstances. And it's amazing how they can change, huh? Because all of a sudden they're watching him. And everyone's like, okay. We know what happens when vipers or when snakes bite somebody, and they were familiar with their own snakes, and they're watching for him to swell up, and he doesn't swell up. He just probably looked at it and just kind of went, I gotta get warm. He didn't even pay attention to it. He didn't even tell them, that's what Jesus said. The snakes will bite you and they will not harm you. You know, he didn't even say anything. He just got on with things. And next thing you know, from going from despised, he goes and they make him into a god. We must be careful not to have this opinion of people high and low on the basis of circumstances. We should have sober thoughts. James says like this, be slow to judge, quick to hear. Or be slow to speak, quick to hear. Let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak, slow to anger. And be careful to jump into conclusions too quick. Now, on the other hand, we have to learn how to deal in our own personal life when people do that to us. No. Right? I mean, you know, you go into a job and it's your first day at work and people are just so welcoming to you and all of a sudden, they hate you. And next thing you know, they like you again. Next thing you know, how do we deal with stuff like that? How do we deal with the ups and downs of people's views? Have you guys keep up with football or Hollywood or things like that? It's amazing how some people fall out of grace and into grace of the fans. It's unbelievable. I mean, Barcelona, for example. I mean, I like Barcelona. I right now I'm really excited about Madrid. It's not like I'm a fanatic of one team. But Barcelona, man, they won so much stuff. And next thing you know, they lose two games. Well, they lose two games. Bayern Munich. But they lose two games, and all of a sudden, it's like, oh, their time is up. You know, or Madrid, or whatever it is. Or yeah, who knows? I mean, you know what I mean. Just people fall into grace and out of grace. How do we deal with this stuff in our life? And I think, first of all, among Christians, we need to realize that this goes on. I mean, look what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12:6. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth, but I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. You know, isn't that amazing that Paul would say, I don't want you to think any more or any less of what I am. The Pharisees, they love for people to think above what they were. When you pray, you do it publicly so people can say, when you fast, you do it publicly so people can say, oh, how spiritual. Paul says, I don't want you to think above or below. I want you to think sober about my life. And then you see places where he was worshipped as God and he just tears his clothes and he says, don't worship us. And he wanted to be thought of soberly. And I think we should have that desire within our life, not to sort of milk, you know, when people are praising us and then sort of get upset when people are rejecting us. As a matter of fact, look what Paul wrestled with in verse 15 of the same chapter. It says, and I will very gladly be spent for your sake. Listen to what he says. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. I mean, Paul says, the more I'm spent for you, the more I give you. It's like a teenage child, you know. The more I give you, the more you want. It's like the leech. Give, give. The more I love you, the less I am loved. And he had to deal with this aspect of being rejected, so to speak. But he wanted to be thought of soberly. I think we need to desire that from other people, but I think we need to be that with ourselves. You know, there's some people that think very highly of themselves. There's some people that think very lowly of themselves. And I think they're both wrong. You know, you see someone's like, oh, I'm a nobody. I can't do anything. I'll never achieve anything. Well, who told you that? And other people that think like they can do anything and they think they're God's gift to the world. And look what Romans 12:3 says. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And sometimes people might think high and low of ourselves, but what do you think of yourself? Do you think too highly of yourself? Do you think too lowly of yourself? Or are you able to see things as they really are, soberly? You're able to see your faults. You're able to see your gifts. You're able to recognize these things and implement them. Some people are so proud of the gifts that they have, and they despise other people. And Paul, to the Corinthians, he says, What makes you differ from anybody else? What do you have that you did not receive? If you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Already you have all you want. And the Corinthians had gotten to the point where they thought higher of themselves than they really were. And that is a real danger. So we can be in these two extremes. The one extreme can be, I don't care what anybody says of me. Have you ever met people like that? It's like they get criticized. I don't care what anybody thinks of me. I'm just going to do whatever I want. And then other people, there's like, oh man, all these people are thinking this of me. And they're thinking this and they're saying that. And they're paralyzed by what people think about them. You know, in reality, both are wrong. They're both wrong. I mean, we should to some degree care. If we've offended somebody and we've done wrong, we should care about it. We shouldn't just say, I don't care what people think of me. On the other hand, we shouldn't be paralyzed by what people think of us. And we shouldn't drown in condemnation, or we shouldn't drown in a depression of feeling. Have you ever felt like super, 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 super small? You're among people and you just feel like a fly, less than a fly, a cell, I don't know, but you just feel like nothing. And what is the solution for this? How do we think soberly of us? And the best thing that I have found is to find our identity in Jesus Christ. Christ, our identity. Have you ever noticed that Paul always sees himself in the light of Jesus? A prisoner, not of Caesar, of Jesus. He says, I've been made alive, forgiven. I've been crucified. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. The love of Christ constrains me. Everything he was, he saw in the light of his new nature and identity in Jesus Christ. In Christ, because of Christ. So therefore, whenever, like Gernot was sharing last week, it was so good. You know, he was talking about when we're condemned and you're able to just grab that one verse, there's no condemnation. So you see yourself in Christ Jesus because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So you're able to, your heart is condemned, your feelings drag you down, and you're able to say, I stand in Jesus. But then, what happens when you get exalted? Huh? You go over to Arenal, and there's a people tell me, man, I'm not saying that you're getting exalted, Alex. But Gernot said to me, Mamma mia, what's going on with Alex? He just talks to people, and people just start weeping. And in the same way, the disciples, remember Jesus sent the 70, and then they came back, and they said, Jesus, the demons obey us. The demons obey us. And then Jesus said something that always threw me off a little bit. He says, I saw Satan fall like lightning. I'm like, no, Jesus, stick with me. I'm telling you about what happened, you know. He says, like, stick with me. He says, I saw Satan fall like lightning. And then he says, do not rejoice that the demons listen to you. Rejoice rather that your names are written in the book of life. You see, the disciples had the temptation that they would think more about themselves than they really were. And Jesus said, listen, don't let the same thing that happened to Satan happen to you. Because he was exalted and he exalted himself and he fell like lightning. He looked at himself. He looked at his gifts. He looked at his beauty. And he says, I want to be like God. He got proud. And then Jesus says, don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. You see, all men are equal at the cross. Every man is equal at the cross. Nobody stands above another because none of us have a righteousness. The only righteousness we have is Jesus' righteousness. And we're able to stand forgiven at the cross. And you see how we do it? The identity is whether we're up, our identity is we're Christians, is in Christ. If we're down, our identity is in Jesus. And when we have an identity that's secure in Jesus, we don't care what people think of us. And if it is something that is legitimate, then we're able to talk to the person and say, look, I'm sorry if I've offended you. Or, hey, you know, we don't have to fear being misunderstood. We don't have to have a careless, but we don't have to be dominated by it because our identity is in Jesus. As a matter of fact, I say often that the more we grow as Christians, really, the more you grow in your knowledge of Jesus, the more sinful you'll see yourself. If you grow properly, you will not think that you're less and less sinful. The more you grow as a Christian, the more you will see that your heart cannot be trusted. And Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 5:9, he says, I am the least of the apostles. In Ephesians 3:8, he says, I am the least of the saints. And in 1 Timothy 1:15, he says, I am the chief of sinners. As his life went on, he realized more and more that he wasn't much, but Christ was all to him. Number two, we see this incident in Malta. But then afterwards, notice as Paul shared with these Jews, he brought them over. I mean, man, isn't it incredible? He just arrives in Rome and he waits 3 days after months of travel, after months of ministry. He just waits 3 days and he says, okay, bring the Jews over. He's eager to be able to share with the Jews the gospel of Jesus. He's so eager to be able to share. And he waits 3 days and he gathers them over. And I'm astonished at this. In verse 17 it says, and it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. So when they had come together, he said to them, men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who when they had examined me, wanted to let me go, because there was no cause for putting me to death. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar. Not that I had anything of which to accuse my nation. What do you mean? What do you mean you didn't have anything of which to accuse your nation? Notice how Paul did not harbor bitterness against the Jewish people. Now think about it. He had been in Jerusalem. He just shared they falsely accused him of being in the temple with Gentiles, which was not true. He shared the gospel, and as soon as he mentioned the word Gentile, they attempted to kill him. They made a vow not to eat or drink until they had killed him. And then they went to Caesarea after him and said, okay, 2 years later, they said, look, bring him to Jerusalem so we can talk to him. And really, they were going to plan to kill him along the way. And Paul says, not that I have anything of which to accuse my people. He could have gone to Caesar and he had a case. He could have said, Caesar, the Jews don't like me because I like Gentiles. And that would have been a really good case. They are racist. And he didn't do that. He'd rather have the opportunity to share with them. With those Jews that were there, he says, I was not going to accuse. I just wanted to save my rear end, really. I mean, I appealed to Caesar because if not, they were, you know, he doesn't say, but they were going to kill me. Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. And Paul is not just someone that teaches that. It's someone that practices that. When he has that temptation to feel bitter, he says, I'm going to put it aside. When he's got the opportunity of malice to throw a statement there to hurt, he actually says, no, I'm not going to let malice. When he's got a temptation to be angry, he says, no, I'm going to put aside anger. When he's got an opportunity for clamor to raise his voice and scream, he says, no, I'm going to put that aside. And I'm amazed at the Apostle Paul's tenderheartedness. You know, we're all tempted to this, but we're all tempted to be bitter. We've all gone through stuff on the earth. We've all gone through horrendous things. Well, not some horrendous, some not so horrendous. But it's always a temptation to become bitter. Jacob said, "Few and evil have been my days upon the earth." And there was a temptation of becoming bitter. And William Barclay tells the story of two people that were walking down the road, and they had gone through trials separately and together. And one looks at the other and says, "You know, trials of life, they taint life. They taint it." And the other one looked at him and says, "Yes, but I choose the color." I love that. And it's a battle. I mean, it's a battle for me personally sometimes. Good things, bad things that happen. Paul, there's no trace of bitterness within his own heart. It reminds me of Corrie ten Boom when she was in the camps, and the very Gestapo guy, that was instrumental in the death of her sister. After Corrie was released, she met with the Gestapo that was responsible for her death. And he looks at her and says, "Sister, he had become a Christian." Can you imagine the person that was instrumental in killing your sister becomes a Christian, and she does not want to give him the hand? And she says that immediately she was just like dead bones. And she reached out her hand and said, "Brother." And she says that the moment she reached out to shake his hand, love began to fill her heart. And what a bitterness is something that can creep into our lives so much. And you know, I think that I heard it said at my age is the most tempting time to become bitter. And I can see the temptation. But I don't want to grow bitter as the years go by. I want to grow sweet. Yes, the church is a tough place. Yes, the world can be tough. But you know what? We overcome the world. I don't want to be a bitter old man. Barking at everyone that goes by the house. Just being sweet. Now notice this though as well. Notice about Paul that he has been 5 years arrested. I mean, I think of Gernot. He can't stay still for anything. Man, this guy's got more energy than I don't know what. It's just like, "Where are you?" "Oh, I'm going to Pakistan." "Oh, I'm going to South America." "Oh." I mean, he's always going. He's like the Energizer Bunny. You guys ever see him? The Energizer Bunny, the commercial, you know, just keeps going and going and going. Can you imagine if you had to sit Gernot down for 5 years? Fire off. Yeah, you can sit. But you know, we are accustomed to being able to do so much. We have been given strength that is to be used. We are to use the strength that God's given us for the sake of the kingdom of God. But let's be careful not to presume upon this strength and not grow strong in Jesus. Paul was in prison for 5 years, and he made the most of those opportunities. But nevertheless, he was paralyzed, so to speak. And he used the time to share with those that were there. And he used the time to write the epistles, the prison epistles. And some of the most Christ-centered epistles were written while he was in prison, paralyzed, unable to move. When he was stopped on his tracks is when he saw Jesus the clearest. And we have to take the seasons that God give us. And I want to share the story with you of Joni. You guys know Joni. What's her last name? Erickson. Listen to this that she wrote. She says, "Few of us have the luxury. It took me forever to think of it as that. To come to ground zero with God. Before the accident," and what happened to her is she dove in the Chesapeake Bay. She dived into the Chesapeake Bay, hit her head, broke her neck, and was paralyzed from the neck down for the rest of her life. Unable to move. She draws with her mouth. Let me start again. "Few of us have the luxury, it took me forever to think of it as that, to come to ground zero with God. Before the accident, my question had always been, how will God fit into this situation? How will He affect my dating life, my career plans, the things I enjoy? All of those options were gone. It was me, just a helpless body and God. I had no other identity but God. And gradually, He became enough. I became overwhelmed with the phenomenon of the personal God who created the universe living in my life. He would make me attractive and worthwhile. Maybe God's gift to me is my dependence on Him. I will never reach the place where I'm self-sufficient, where God is crowded out of my life. I am aware of His grace to me. I am aware of His grace to me every moment. My need for help is obvious every day when I wake up flat on my back, waiting for someone to come and dress me. I cannot even comb my hair or blow my nose alone. And there's one more thing. I have hope for the future. The Bible speaks of our bodies being glorified in heaven. In high school, that was always a hazy foreign concept. But now I realize that I will be healed. I have not been cheated out of being a complete person. I am just going through a 40-year delay. And God is with me even through that being glorified. I know the meaning of that now. It's the time after my death. Here, when I'll be on my feet dancing. Isn't that incredible? But you know, there is a sense that we need to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But we also need to get to a place where we're allowing God to be all to us. And Paul was there 2 years. He had been traveling for almost nine months. And he had been in prison for 2 years before that. And yet you don't see him skipping a beat. He just keeps going. Strong in the Lord Jesus. In 2 Timothy, he says this. In 2 Timothy, it shocks me. He says, I am in chains, but the Word of God is not chained. He's able to see beyond his own thing. He's able to see God's Word going out, spreading throughout. And then finally, I want to address the abrupt finish of the book of Acts. Have you noticed? I mean, he dwelled in his own house for 2 years and welcoming people that came to him, teaching things concerning the Lord Jesus with all confidence, no one forbidding him. It's like, well, wait a minute. That's it? Hey. Keep writing. His life went on. I mean, he was released after this. And then he was re-imprisoned a few years later. Then he was put to death. Well, one reason for it not going on with his life is this is not the story of the Apostle Paul. It is the story of the Lord Jesus' church spreading through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is an abrupt finish, I think, by design. You know, have you ever heard of ministries called Acts 29? And you ever wonder, I was like, why do they name it that? I always wonder that. I almost fight about it. It's like, there is no Acts 29. You know, these guys don't know what they're talking about. But in reality, all they're saying is the church goes on. The story goes on. The church can't live in the past. Lloyd Ogilvie, then chaplain of the U.S. Senate, tells the story of his student days when he actually traveled in the Queen Mary. Now, Queen Mary is a big cruise ship, or you know it was the biggest at the time. And as a teenager, he could only afford the lowest ticket. But you know what? He just loved to sit on the deck and just watch the ship go through the big waves. He was just amazed by this ship. And then afterwards, during the Second World War, this ship was one of the most sought for ships by the Germans that there was in all the seas, because it was a carrier of troops. It had over 5,000 soldiers on it. So you can imagine the submarines, boom, 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 boom. They're looking for the Queen Mary. And this guy says, and I used to just think of the Queen Mary just sort of going around trying to miss planes and miss submarines. Actually, while I was in the Red Sea recently, I was scuba diving on a boat that was sunk by planes that could not find the Queen Mary. And they sunk, I mean, this thing full of ammunition and all stuff. But anyway, so this ship was just a very famous ship, and he got to see it when it was in the museum. And while he was in the museum, he watched the film, and the movie said, the greatest ship that ever went to sea is now the greatest ship to come and see. Now, this guy that went to see the Queen Mary when he was older, he was the pastor of Hollywood Presbyterian Church. So he went to see the ship in the museum, and he says, this ship that everyone came, that was the greatest in the sea, is the one that all have to come and see. And next thing you know, he goes to church on Sunday, and a woman, and this was a very famous church, and a woman goes up to him after the service trying to encourage him and says this, I have waited for years to visit Hollywood Presley Church to see all the great things that used to happen here. Can you imagine? Someone comes to church and says, Raph, I just wanted to come to this church because I wanted to see the church where things used to happen. I mean, that would be probably the most discouraging thing that a person could ever hear. Why? Because we expect the church to be doing, always striving forward, always moving forward. The church cannot live in the past. It must draw from the past, live in the present, and stretch towards the future. And it is important for us as individuals to realize that Acts 29 can actually be written in our lives. Pastor Chuck has this ability to inspire, and he always used to tell the verse of 2 Chronicles 16:9. He just always, almost in every sermon, he just said it. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the earth, looking for people whose hearts are perfect towards Him. And he would say, and D.L. Moody, when he read that, he says, I want to be that man. I want to be the man whose heart is perfect towards Him, whom God works through. And then Chuck would say, you know, and he wasn't that man. The question is, will you be that person? And you're sitting there just listening to this stuff, and you're just sitting in a room with headphones because you have to in Bible school, you know, and you're listening to him. You're like, oh, Lord, and you're crying. I want to be that person. I want to be that person. But just inspired. And you know what? We need to think soberly. We can't think, oh, God will never use me. We can't think God can't do it without me. We need to think it soberly. God's eyes are looking throughout the earth today for people that would set their lives apart to be used by God. To be used by God. To be a part of Acts 29. To be a part of the continuing story of Jesus working from heaven, of His Spirit working on the earth. And I just want to say in closing that as we are part of the church serving, you know, and I love it. I love Gernot coming here with groups and everything that he does all over the world. I love these guys coming to Magaluf. I love the different things that go on, the homeless, the street angels, the heart that people have to know Jesus and to serve Him. And we are not to live in the church of the past. We are to be people that love Jesus today, who love Him in worship as we sing, who love Him in worship as we listen to His Word and get educated in who He is and how He does things, to be people that love Him as we share with people. I'm astonished. I'm embarrassed sometimes, to be honest, at how people share the gospel sometimes so meekly, so kindly. And I just think like, oh, Lord, I get convicted. I'm like, oh, Lord, make me like that. I mean, I'll confess my sins before you right now. Jehovah Witness came over to me yesterday to the house knocking. I'm just studying and stuff. And they came over and I opened the door. I said, look, I'm not really interested. Oh, no, but have you, you know, science, you know that science says that we could live forever or something like that? No, I'm not really interested. And then I ended up getting in a bit of a debate with her. Instead of just loving on her and sharing the hope of Christ that is in me, I really did get into a bit of a spiteful debate, you know. And I was just convicted. I was like, oh, Lord, I want to love you. I want to love you and I want to love people. And as well, as good as humbly as I speak to you, that humbly I want to speak to people. Not self-righteously, but lovingly, kindly. The early church was what it became because it had been filled and empowered by the Spirit of God and had been given to the things of God. It was messy. There's no need to be idealistic. It was messy. But in the midst of the mess, God was working. And as we looked at these verses, you know, I just thought, man, notice we've got to get over being so touchy when people like us or not like us. Here's a guy that's used by the Lord, and he was a person that was able to overcome these things. He was a person that had love for people. He loved this nation. He was not bitter against them. He was wanting to share the gospel with them. He was a person that was dependent on the Lord. And he was a person, and I don't think anyone could deny this, he was a person that was always striving for the next thing. He's like, Lord. I mean, he's in prison. And right before he wrote Romans, he's like, and I want to visit Spain. I want to visit Spain. And the borders were always further. Man, may God touch our hearts and make us into people that love Him and love people and are able to bring the kindness of God to people. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You, Lord, so much for Your goodness. And Father, I want to be a person that grows in dependence of You. A person that reaches for all the things that Your eyes are looking to do, that Your heart is looking to do. Lord, for people that don't let our hearts get in the way of what You want to do. And for people, Lord, that don't, not in a negative sense, but are not so over-concerned for what people think of us. That we're able to find our identity in You and just do what You have called us to do in the place and time that You have called us to do it. Oh, Father, make us into a true Acts 29, Lord, that Your kingdom will go through our lives on this earth, Lord. That You yourself will bring Your kindness, Your love, Your grace, Your salvation through the foolishness of the beautiful feet that go and share good news, whether it's through radio, whether it's through going to Magaluf, Arenal, whether it's gatherings in Pakistan, whether it's whatever goes on in South America, whether it's through one guy in Iran, whether it's through refugees scattered, Lord, let Your purposes be done through Your people and help us to be sensitive, Lord, to what You're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.